No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house in charge of his servants, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch.
Where the NIV says watch, the version I'm using says be alert. And I think it says be alert four times in those few verses. And some years ago, there was a bumper sticker. It was short-lived, but it read, be alert, the world needs another alert. Whilst Jesus was on earth with his disciples, he promised that he would return. Jesus says at John chapter 14 and verse 3, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And this was confirmed after Jesus ascended. Whilst the disciples were still gazing into the sky after him, two men in white clothes suddenly appeared at the side of them and said, and this is at Acts chapter 1, verse 11, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven. Amen. They'd just seen Jesus ascended, and these two men dressed in white come and ask them, why are you staring? I mean, we would be staring, wouldn't we? And I'm sure I would have been. But the promise came that this Jesus who has been taken will come again in the same way as the disciples saw him going. And now Jesus made that promise that he would return, but it seems a long time in happening. And in the passage from Mark we are looking at tonight, Jesus tells us to be alert. And in previous sermons, we have noted the destruction of the temple and the wars and rumours of wars. And those coming who claim to be the Christ. We have mentioned the earthquakes in various places throughout the world. And these days, we are seeing such persecution of believers that even the secular media has now noticed. And let's look at the promise Jesus made to his disciples and to us. And in Mark chapter 13, verse 32, Jesus says, now concerning that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, except the Father. Nobody knows the day and hour when Jesus will return. The angels in heaven don't know. And the text says that not even the Son knows. We can study the scriptures. We can work out the timeline and think we have the date. But it can never be more than a guess. And up to yet, all the guesses have been wrong. Yeah. Only the Father knows when the end will come. And he will not be dictated to by anybody. We like to pray, don't we, for what we want. And then we start to tell God how we want him to answer the prayer. And but God's got a better way. It might not always seem a better way at the time, but God has got a better way of answering prayers. And no matter how hard we study the scriptures, being human beings, we are bound to make a mistake somewhere in the calculations. And I'm sure that God looks down and Perhaps he smiles at our puny attempts. So I don't know whether he does or not, or whether he just shakes his head. And however, but we need to remember, I think, that God is outside of our time zone. In fact, there is no time at all in heaven. And God hasn't got a date for the return of Jesus. He's not marking the days off on a calendar. And I believe that God has factors that we don't even understand. And we don't need to know. We want to know, but we don't need to know. At least not the fact what the factors are. But Jesus will come when the time is right. And not before. And in the related passage at Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, Jesus says, as the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. And we look around us today, and we can think that the days of Noah describe the days we are living in today. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 tells us that man's wickedness was widespread, and that every scheme his mind thought of was nothing but evil all the time. And verse 11 tells us that the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. We recognise it, don't we? We sometimes look for hidden meanings in the Bible. And God desires to make his will known to us. I believe that the Bible means exactly what it says. And all through the ages, man has lived in his own way. It didn't take long after the flood for mankind to return to the old evil ways. And it's been the same all through the ages. And it seems that in every age, Bible scholars have believed that the end times in the Bible described the days they were living in. I remember hearing that the second coming was imminent in the 70s when I became a Christian. Then it was the 80s, and some of us in the mining industry thought that the world was ending in 1984. And if we read books published in the early decades of the 20th century, we find that the coming of Christ was expected at that time. And Jesus continues at Matthew chapter 24, verses 38 and 39. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah boarded the ark. They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. So this is the way the coming of the Son of Man will be. The people were eating and drinking and marrying. In other words, they were carrying on their normal lives as usual. They were unaware that the flood was about to come upon them. This is the way the coming of the Son of Man will be. People will be carrying on their normal lives as usual. The coming of Jesus will be a complete surprise, even to some Christians. Many of us who consider ourselves Christians live our lives in such a way that people wouldn't know that we were Christians. And that is a danger we all face, including me. We must pray that we live our lives in such a way that people will notice there is something different about us and will want to know why. And we must not be complacent because the promise was made such a long time ago and it hasn't happened yet. The fact that it hasn't happened yet means that the time to wait is shorter. The coming of Jesus is a day closer today than it was this time yesterday. Can we remember what we were doing at this time yesterday? I was watching Last of the Summer Wine. I can identify with every male character in that at different times, especially Norman Clegg, very shy, very timid and scared stiff of women. The world may be going on, as it always has done. People are eating and drinking to excess in both cases, including Christians. They are marrying, and quite often not bothering to marry. They want to get rich without the hard work, hence the popularity of lotteries. Companies are swallowing each other up, and big companies aren't safe from even bigger companies. And what about us? We Christians. We have to live. We have to eat. We have to earn money. We have to go about our daily lives, mixing with other people. We cannot cut ourselves off from the world, but we can live in the anticipation of the coming of Christ. Amen. We can make sure that when Jesus comes, he doesn't find us doing something we should not be doing. We must live our daily lives in a way that glorifies him at all times. And at all times, we must have in our minds that if Jesus came now, it's all right, because we are ready. We must be ready for him at all times. Perhaps we have unresolved personal and spiritual conflicts. For example, we have never truly forgiven somebody who hurt us. Then we are leaving a big door open to the enemy to confuse our thinking and stop us connecting with the truth. If we do not close that door by obeying God and forgiving that person, no matter how well someone preaches the truth, we are unlikely to ever really get hold of it in a way that we can grasp and put it into practice. There is good release in forgiveness. Not only spiritually, but sometimes physically. When I was with Youth for the Mission, which is a long time ago now, we were based in Nuneaton, in a lovely large building just off the A5, and part of our ministry was to go out into nursing homes to take services. And a team of us went to a nursing home in Bedworth, I think it was, in that area. And we were praying for a lady who had an arthritic hand. It was clawed like that. And one of the team asked her if there was anybody that she hadn't forgiven. She had a word of knowledge that there was unforgiveness in this lady's heart. And the lady admitted that she'd never forgiven her sister for something that happened when they were teenagers. And as she forgave her sister, her hand opened up like that. I saw it happening. I was there. So the miracle of a hand opening up, and this lady truly forgave her sister. She had all these years of forgiveness in her heart, going back to her teenage years. There is power in forgiveness. Many have come to faith but have not repented, and their growth is stunted. And we need to examine our lives and ask the Holy Spirit to show us areas where we have not repented and close the door to the enemy's influence. Once we have committed ourselves to believe truth, no matter what we feel, truth, it goes against what we feel sometimes. Once we have committed ourselves to believe the truth, no matter what we feel, and we have dealt with our unresolved spiritual conflicts, we are free to make a choice every day. We can choose to either obey the promptings of the flesh or the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The two are in direct opposite to each other. What the Spirit wants us to do needs to override what the flesh is drawing us to do. And how can we tell if we are walking by the Spirit? Just as we can tell a tree by its fruit, we can tell whether we are walking by the Spirit by the fruit in our lives. If the Spirit is leading us, our lives will be marked by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if we are living our lives according to the flesh, that too will become evident in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21 give us evidence of fleshly living. If we become aware that we are living according to the flesh, the appropriate response is to confess it and invite the Holy Spirit to fill us and to start living according to our identity in Christ. Walking by the Spirit is a moment-by-moment, day-by-day experience. We can choose every moment of every day either to walk by the Spirit or to walk by the flesh. But once we understand the truth of who God is and who we are, why ever would we want to walk by the flesh anymore? We can glorify Jesus in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And back to Matthew chapter 24, and Jesus continues to say, at verses 40 and 41, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. This states our readiness when the time comes. In verses 42 and 43, Jesus says, therefore be alert, since you don't know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, if the homeowner had known what time the thief was coming, he would have stayed alert and not let his house be broken into. Burglars don't make appointments before they break in, do they? So we make sure that our homes are secure before going out or before going to bed. And in some areas, we have to make sure that our homes are secure even when we are in and up and about. During one of my visits to Uganda some years ago, the place I stayed at had a security guard on duty from 6 p.m. until 6 a.m. They also had two Alsatian dogs, which stayed with the guard all night. Now, the guard was a former hunter, and he was a dead shot with a bow and arrow. And if anybody climbed over to the fence into the compound, they would find themselves set upon by two dogs that actually would have licked them to death, but they didn't know that. But they found themselves set upon by two dogs and arrows flying past his ears. And if the guard spotted a weapon, there would have been an arrow in the chest. I'm pleased to say that it never happened, at least not whilst I was there. Now, when Jesus comes, he won't make an appointment. He will just come. It would be no good saying, we are not ready. Can you come back another day? We need to be ready for him at all times. We need to be able to welcome him with open arms. When we get a phone call from a loved one, we are ready to speak with them, no matter what we are doing. We will drop anything to speak with a loved one on the phone. When it's somebody really special, we will drop anything just to spend time with them. We anticipate the next phone call, and we are ready for them no matter what we are doing. And when it's the one really, really special person in our life, we make sure that we are not with somebody we shouldn't be with when the call comes. Yeah. And so it is with Jesus. When Jesus comes, we must make sure we are where we are supposed to be, doing what we are supposed to be doing. We must be ready for him. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 44 says, This is why you also must be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. There are a number of theories regarding the second coming, all equally feasible and all backed up by Scripture. The only thing certain in my mind is that God will do what God will do.
Amen.
And I'm quite happy to leave it with him. What I want to emphasise is that whatever God does, we must be ready. And we must also be ready, Jesus says, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour we do not expect. And each of us needs to go home tonight asking ourselves this question: am I ready? While God has put the church in the world, Satan seeks to put the world in the church. And he will use every opportunity to weaken God's work through the church by getting you and me to let down our guard. Therefore, we need to commit ourselves to being vigilant and alert. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, "Be serious, be alert. Your adversary the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour." We must always be on our guard. Jesus expects his people to be alert, guarding against Satan's attempts to hinder the effectiveness of God working in and through our lives and our church. And we cannot help but notice that Jesus made it clear that no one knows the day or hour of his return. Our responsibility is to be faithful until the Lord returns. We are to see to it that we, and as many others as possible, are prepared for his return. And the question we take away with us tonight is, are we ready for the Lord's return?